We're going to just pray and honor them and honor our mothers this morning and just ask of God's blessing upon them this morning. Father, we thank you for our moms to be. Father, we ask that your hand would be upon them. We ask that your Spirit would continue to indwell them richly. Father, that fire that they've had, Lord, would burn bright again this day. Father, as all the things that they are called to do and to be, Father, amongst being in the world, there can be a stretch, there can be a hard time. To be able to keep everything together, to be able to put everything together, Lord, and to have that time with you. Father, we ask that you would fill them afresh by your Spirit this morning. Father, that they would sense your peace, your hand upon them mightily. Father, that you would pick them up wherever they are. That you would encourage them. Lord, that your Spirit would live in them. And Father, that they would continually seek to refill that fountain inside of them. That you would continue to carve out that time for them to protect their hearts. Because they give so much. Father, your peace be upon them. Your grace and mercy. Father, that they would trust you in all things, in all ways. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I've titled this sermon this morning, Two Things. I titled it One Way to Live, the challenge to live wisely and righteously. But then I got a thinking. And I thought, why don't I title it something like this? What Jesus would say to me if he was my mama. Do you ever wondered about that? What would Jesus say to me if he was my mama? Mothers are teachers. They're disciplinarians. They're cleaning ladies. They're gardeners. They're mowers of lawns. Sometimes they're barbecuers. But you know what? They understand that baking cookies is more important than washing windows. They're nurses. They're doctors. They're psychologists. They're counselors. They're chauffeurs. They're coaches. Moms are developers of personalities and molders of vocabularies and shapers of attitudes. And mothers have that soft voice that says, I love you. Mothers are a link to God. They are a child's first impression of God's love. And that continued impression of God's love. Mothers are these things and plus much, much more that you and I can think of. Question is this. What are all of the, what value do we place on mothers? Is it the proper value? Many of you have heard this story by Irma Bombeck. It's called God Makes a Mother. And this is what it said. Irma tells the story of God in an act of creating mothers. She says that on the day God created mothers, he had already worked a long overtime. And an angel said to him, Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this one. The Lord turned and said, have you read the specs on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She used to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She used to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She used to have a lap that will disappear whenever she stands up. She used to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. And she's supposed to have 6 pairs of hands. 6 pairs of hands, said the angel. That's impossible. It's not the 6 pairs of hands that bother me, said the Lord. It's the 3 pairs of eyes. She's supposed to have 1 pair that sees through closed doors so that whenever she says, "What are you kids doing in there?" she already knows what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things that she's not supposed to see, but must see. And then she has 1 pair right here in front that can look at a child that just goofed and communicate love and understanding without saying a word. And not to say put her husband in place. "That's too much," said the angel. "You can't put that much into 1 model. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow?" "No, I can't," said the Lord. "I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she is sick, who can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower." Then the angel looked at the model of motherhood a little more closely and said, "She's too soft." "Oh, but she is tough," said the Lord. "You'd be surprised at how much this mother can do." "She can think?" asked the angel. "Not only can she think," said the Lord, "but she can reason and compromise and persuade." Then the angel reached over and touched her cheek. "This one has a leak," he said. "I told you that you couldn't put that much into 1 model." "That's not a leak," said the Lord. "That's a tear." "What's a tear for?" said the angel. "Well, it's for joy. It's for sadness. It's for sorrow. It's for disappointment. It's for pride." "You're a genius," said the angel. And the Lord said, "Oh, but I didn't put it there." What value do we place on mothers? Is it the proper value? God says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Exodus 20:12. "Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Deuteronomy 5:16. For Moses said, "Honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die." Mark 7:10. The Bible has a lot to say about mothers and fathers. You'd be surprised. But whenever you see something repeated in Scripture, it should cause you to stop, to pay attention, because that's what God is saying. Pay attention. Listen, this is important. My mom was like most moms. She loved me. She gave her life for me. She protected me. She clothed me. She put food in my stomach that tasted just right. She encouraged me. She corrected me. She disciplined me. She gave me a home, not a mere house or apartment to live in. She provided a home where I could fly and crash, test my strengths, talents, and abilities, learn from my weaknesses and frailties, learn to love and be loved. She taught me even when she was not aware. And when she was, it was funny and fun. She gave me 2 books. She gave me 2 books and she told me to read them. If I had any questions afterward, I was to come and ask. Well, the books were hilarious. They were Dr. Spock on What's Happening to Me, Dealing with Puberty. And Dr. Spock, Where Did I Come From? And I tell you, it was full illustrated pictures. I didn't have any questions after that. It was pretty clear. I loved my mom. But the question is, did I place the correct value on her? Most people have seen people wearing wristbands that are multicolored and they have something printed on them. What do they have printed on them? Remember? What would Jesus do? WWJD. Remember seeing those? Did you wear one? A couple? The point behind the wristbands are this. To hopefully help Christians look through the lens of Jesus' commands and actions before making a decision or taking action. What would Jesus do? The hope is that by asking that question, you will come to a wise and right decision. Well, I'm wondering this. Why don't we have wristbands that say WWMD? Or WWDD? What would Mama do? What would Dada do? The point being is this. Who best should reflect Jesus in a child's life? Mom and or Dad? Why? Because mom and dad are expected to be teachers of their children. Deuteronomy 6:4-9 says this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Wherever you are, talk about God. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. Mom and dad are expected to teach their children about God. We're expected to talk about His person, who He is, what He has done, what He promises, what He expects, what He desires, what He commands. Mom and dads are to know God and relay the knowledge and relationship of God to your children. It is mom and dad's responsibility alone. It's not the schools, it's not the churches, but it's yours. Why? Because you've been blessed by God with a child. There is no place in the Bible that says it's the church's responsibility or it's the school's responsibility to teach your child about God. It's ours. He chose to bless us with those children to teach and to preach and to raise them up in the ways of knowing Him and following Him. Nobody else's responsibility but ours. A woman once wrote the evangelist Gypsy Smith after a campaign to tell him she had received Jesus as a result of one of his messages. She said, I believe the Lord wants me to preach the gospel, Brother Smith, but the trouble is that I have 12 children to raise. What shall I do? She received this letter in reply. My dear lady, I'm happy to hear that you have been saved and feel called to preach. But I am even more delighted to know that God has already provided you with a congregation of 12. The mother got the point. The Apostle Paul, God's chosen servant to the Gentiles, dedicated and committed follower and worker of the gospel, acknowledges and commends the faith and job of a couple of women in mothering their child. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. 2 Timothy 1:5. That child's name was Timothy, who grew to be a powerful and wise servant of God in his kingdom. Paul says this of Timothy, you have a sincere faith that which I have found in your mother and grandmother. Timothy was a man of genuine and righteous belief and obedience to God, just like his mom and grandmother. How did that happen, do you think? It's no coincidence that Paul mentions Timothy's mom and grandmother. They're the ones responsible and are publicly acknowledged and commended by the Apostle Paul in a letter that would be very uncommon to mention or shine a light on a woman. But Paul shines a light on them specifically. Paul places a correct value upon them and does not keep it back. To place the correct value on someone is what we call honoring. That's what it is to honor someone, is to place the correct value on them. What God calls all children to do is to honor your father and mother. Place a correct value on them. Assign value. Revere them. Venerate them. They are precious. That's what that word means. Venerate, revere, they are precious. Treat them so. Ephesians 6, 1-4, the Apostle Paul, talking to the Ephesian church, reminds the people, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Oh, here it comes. All the teenagers and the kids are going, we've heard this before. But it's repeated throughout Scripture, time and time again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is this, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Well, that was then. But it still applies to now. Honor your father and mother. Give them the right value. They're precious. Their preciousness. Treat them as so. Matthew 15:4. Honor your father and mother, and the one who speaks evil of his father or mother must be put to death. Who quoted that? Jesus. Matthew 15:4. Is your mother precious in your sight? In your esteem? Does she receive your awe? We're not just talking about appreciation. We're talking in not just acknowledgement. We're talking about a God-commanded, assigned, valuing respect and devotion. The kind where you make a big deal about her presence, about her opinions, about her commands. Like she's God, but she's not. But knowing that God has commanded us to do that. Is this how we treat our moms? And not just our moms, but our dads. We don't forget about them. How did Jesus treat his mother, Mary? She was precious in his sight. He never spoke ill of her. He never called her names. He always approached her with the proper and right respect, even though he is and was divine, and she his creation. Did she mess up? You bet. We know Scripture says everybody had sin. Everybody has sin. Well, there's an incident that happens that they've gone to Jerusalem to the temple and they've left and they're on the way home and it's been a day's journey and then they realize that Jesus isn't around. He's 12 years old. Tell me, moms, what are you thinking? Why, I oughta. Nah, you're probably going out of your mind. She's going back and checking with everybody because they traveled in caravans. Is he with you? No, he's not. You know, they would hang around with their friends on their way back. He's not there. So they travel back a whole day's journey to find Jesus. And then it takes them 3 days to find him. Moms, what are you saying? Yeah. She finally finds Jesus in the temple. And she says, you know, she's like, where have you been? I'm worried sick about you. Why did you do this to us? Don't do this again. You know, going through all that. Anybody got that spiel before? Sure. But I'm thinking it's at the umpth degree, maybe. How did Jesus react? How would you act? How Jesus reacted, he said, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Like, chill out. You ever had your kids say chill to you? Maybe not in those exact words, but you're probably up here by then. Don't you chill me. I know exactly how my mums would react because I've seen my wife's wife react that way. And that's only after 30 minutes. Imagine what Mary's saying. Am I supposed to read your mind? But Jesus is saying, don't worry. When it comes to where I am, you should have known. Mary doesn't go over the edge, though. Instead, it says in Scriptures that she treasured these things in her heart. She also said to Jesus, we're going home now. And what's it say in there? Jesus submitted and came along. And Mary treasured these things in her heart. She knew who Jesus was. Did she forget that he was a miraculous baby? No. She knew who he was. And it's just amazing that Jesus submits to her leadership. He submits to her leading. He doesn't say, hey, just a second here. I'm God. You back down. Don't talk to me that way. You're going to go to your room. Couple of things here. Mary must have been over the moon to know that her child knew clearly who he was, what he was about, and where he should be. Moms, if your child knew exactly their mission, their purpose, their commitment in their life, wouldn't that put you over the moon? Wouldn't it? She had that. It would make you proud. Secondly, Jesus submits to his parents' wishes. Like we said, even though he was God. What does that say to us in our relationship with our parents? With our mom, with our dad? Even though something may not necessarily be my will or my want, Jesus respected and honored his mother Mary. Probably his dad as well. So what's that say for us? It says, put into practice making your mom precious. Giving godly value to your mom, to your dad. Well, what's in it for me? That's the human response, isn't it? Am I going to get ice cream afterwards? Well, what's in it for you is this. God says so. Second, he modeled it so. And third, it's the first commandment with a promise. Child, obey your parents in the Lord, for it's right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And what's the promise? Verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Do we want things to go well for us? Does anybody dispute? Does anybody wake up today and go, I want things to go rotten for me? No. But he says, you want things to go well for you? You want to stay in the land? You want to be blessed by me with this and that and everything else? Well, here's the first place. Love the Lord your God. Love your parents. Respect them. Honor them. See, because love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second commandment is like the first, says what? Love your neighbor. Your mom and dad are a lot closer than neighbors. He says you got to love them. Do we have a God-honoring relationship with our mom? With our parents? Is our life kind of rough? Is it kind of crappy? Can I say that? Sorry if it offends somebody. It's the best word I could come up with. Are things not going so well? Well, we need to check what our relationship with our parents is like. If it's important to God, it should be important to us. It may not contribute to everything that may be going wrong in your life, but there's probably a part. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or hope to be, I own to my angel mother. That great evangelist Dwight Moody said, all that I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And then there's this verse that I'm sure most parents have underlined in their Bible. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Has this verse caused you tension and consternation? Moms and dads, have you gone to the Lord with it and gone, I've done everything that you've asked me to do. I've obeyed the commandments. I've done, I've trained, I've taught, I've tried to teach my kids, and look where they are. I've honored you in this way, and look what's happened. And then we break down because we're concerned if our child is ever going to come back. We come back and we reflect upon ourselves. I did a lousy job. I feel so worthless and ashamed. I'm so embarrassed. We become the joke or the piñata in church, in the community. How many stories do we hear of people who have been following God their whole lives, but their children reject Him and walk away from Him in the church? People we would never think of are faced with this dilemma, and it affects them deeply. Even to the extent that those who would be great leaders refuse to take up the mantle because their adult children disqualify them from leadership. But is that really the case? See, I think this verse has been taken out of context. It's been misconstrued. But understand this. We children, with our parents, do we realize how much angst and mental and spiritual stress our parents go through in relation to this verse? How much they take this personally. When we go off and we do our own thing and we rebel and we tell them to their face, I hate you. I'm going to go off and I'm going to choose to test God to see if He's really real, if He really cares for me. I'm going to exercise my independence from them. And our parents are at home, weeping, praying, laying on their beds, not sleeping a wink. It's not to make us feel guilty and make you to do the right thing. But it's to understand. Parents get tormented because we have nothing but good desires for you, for your life, to be blessed by God and to be found in His favor. But when we decide to ditch God, faith in Jesus, parents feel responsible for your rebellion. What is it that I did wrong? Why is God punishing? Why have you rejected a loving God and Savior? Where did I go wrong? The truth is this, that it's not the parents' fault, but the fault lies squarely on ourselves. The parent has held up their end of the bargain. They taught the way of God to you, hopefully. If we haven't, we've shirked our responsibilities. But regardless, we need to forgive our parents. We need to get over it, and we need to reinvest with God through Christ. Parents are only responsible to start their children in the right way. The way of righteousness. We're not responsible for whether or not children choose to stay walking with Christ. That's a personal decision. That's a faith responsibility. It's a belief. It's an acceptance of Christ's gift. And each person, we're told, is responsible for that. We have a choice. The book of Proverbs clearly teaches that each person is responsible for their own choice. Whether we accept the gift of Christ or not. Whether we believe God's story or not. Parents are not responsible to start the are responsible to start the children towards the path of righteousness, but we're not responsible for their choice. But the encouragement from this proverb is that children will never completely depart from the training of God. It will remain inscribed on their hearts. Even though maybe they walk away, maybe they drift away, God says it still will remain inscribed on their hearts. And even when they're old, at some point, for the most part, they come back. Maybe it's because they've realized their rebellion or the deception of the world is what God said it would be. It's not like they thought it would be, like the prodigal son. Bringing up a child in the way of God's righteousness is something that will never leave them their entire lives. This is the teaching of this proverb in the book of Proverbs. The responsibility of the parent is to lead them, start them off in the path of following Christ. But just like a child riding a bike for the first time, you're there for the training wheels. But eventually those training wheels come off. And it's no longer your responsibility. So the question is this, do we value our parents as God requires His children? Have I honored my mom, my dad, in the way that God has called me? Are they precious to me? Because, hey, newsflash, moms and dads have sin as well. They will fail you. We're not responsible for children forever. I could have blamed my mom for all my troubles, for all my situations and all my circumstances, and believe me, I've got the story to back it up. But at some point, those cords are cut. And I'm responsible for my life, for my decisions, for my choices. So do we value our parents as we should, our moms as we should? My mom did everything she could for me. And I loved her for it. And I still do. Yes, she made mistakes. She had sin. She was a sinner. She ended up in jail 4 times. She was married and divorced 8 times. She paid her time. She attempted to make amends. And yeah, she was difficult to live with at times. But the one thing that I never forgot is that she always loved me and did everything she could to show me that love. What right do I have to hold anything else against her? What right do any of us have to hold anything against anybody else in light of Christ? We can complain if we don't have sin. We can complain if we've never failed. We can complain if we've never made a wrong decision. And if we think that's so, then there's an issue right there. So what are you going to do? Kids, children, teenagers, adults. We can choose to move on and be responsible for ourselves and forgive. And love our moms as we're called to. Honor her in the way that God teaches and instructs us to value her. And the question is simply, do we? Moms, you're worthy to be honored. As God calls us to honor you. So we honor you today. As God instructs us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.